Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
My name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I rise above all doubts and strife and read my title plea. Sing it. You saved this morning, say amen. Without a shadow of a doubt, I know that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved, amen.
I feel like we're about to climb today a little bit. I'm looking forward to being in service, hearing what the Lord has for us from the man of God this morning. It's our services, I told them last week, they just seem to every week they get sweeter and sweeter, and the Lord blesses more and more each week, and it's just such a privilege to get to come to church. There's so many folks that can't get out and go, and it's just an honor and privilege to be in service with y'all every week. And no matter what you're facing, what you're going through, boy, we're just on the verge of climbing that mountain. You pray for them as they sing, y'all.
If you move on from here, the road ahead is steep, but you're not giving up, 'cause God's about to take you to a brand new place of trust. Take a step of faith. It's time to move. Lay aside your fears and watch what God
Kim, set up Alpha and Omega Choir. Y'all would sing that for us. Alpha and Omega today. Flip over there to, and let's do Under the Hills, if you would, for us this morning. Absolutely.
Yes. Amen.
Some of you look like you're defeated this morning. Some of you have a right to feel that way. But if you're saved here today, there is no defeat in our lives. As long as you let Jesus take control, we can't complain about a thing. We may try to at times, and we may have depressing moments and pity parties for ourselves. But if we really get a look at Him and realize today that we are under His wing,
that's right. Well,
what a place of protection to be this morning under His wing. Are you there this morning? Are you under those wings this morning? Let us introduce him to you today if you don't know.
When my plans have fallen through and I don't know what to do, I just look unto the hills whence cometh my help. When the dreams I dreamed have died and I need a place to hide, I just look unto the hills whence cometh my help.
I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender, and they're leading me in paths that I must try. Walks beside me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God.
I trust in God. I know He cares for me. Stormy sea.
the old ship of Zion, and I sink my toes in the sands of time. On Jordan's bright shore, I'll see friends and loved ones who have made the same journey to heaven's fair clime. As the saints are arriving to behold the great splendor, they are met with a strange and most welcoming breeze, with the fair, lovely fragrance of the fruits of our labors and eternal blossoms of the flowers and trees. I will sing hallelujah, heaven's all that I've longed for. He is who he said, and I am one of his own. And I will see, and I'll smell, oh, and I'll hear, and I'll taste. Oh, and when I see the Savior, I'll kneel at his throne, and that's when singing of that heavenly choir, I shall most gladly join in that eternal refrain. We're singing glory to God. He spared not his son. Oh, worthy, most worthy, the Lamb who was slain. And I will sing high, heaven's all that I've longed for. He is who he said, and I am one of his own. Then I will see, then I'll smell, oh, and then I'll hear, then I'll taste. And when I see the Savior, I'll kneel at his throne. Oh, and that's when I'll know I'm whole. And I will sing hallelujah, heaven's all that I've longed for. He is who he said, and I'm one of his own. Oh, and I'll see, and I'll smell, then I'm gonna hear, then I will taste. Oh, and when I see the Savior, I'll kneel at his throne, and that's where
be good to be home one day, isn't it? I tell you, I'm a little envious. I don't know if that's me or I'm not plugged in all the way. How am I now? Testing 1, 2, 3. I might have a short in that cord. I don't know. I'll be honest with you, I'm almost tempted to shift gears, but I don't know which gear to shift into. Brother, I promise you I hadn't touched anything. But it could be my battery. And if it is, if it keeps doing it, well, just give me a, and I'll switch up. But I sure have appreciated and enjoyed the song service this morning. Have you? What do you want me to do, brother? Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was asked a question this week that maybe it shouldn't rattle the cage of any Christian. Maybe this question should not rattle the cage of a preacher or someone that's been in the ministry for decades now. But I was asked the question, why do sound systems act up in church? Bro, just give me a mic, please.
I'll take that. It's often. But I was asked that question. And you see, there's some mechanical answers to the question of why is this happening to me? And the truth is we are quick to give the reactionary answer. Oh, brother, oh, sister, you know, you hang in there. You're in the valley now, but the mountaintop's coming soon. And that's okay. I mean, we're trying to encourage a brother or a sister in Christ. But the truth is I don't want to give a generic or canned answer to such a question. Because the question runs deep and long. And I'm going to share with you, this probably will end up being a two-part message. I will touch on some things this morning, but I want you to come back tonight. Because I believe if you leave here this morning after hearing the first part, you may feel like that I'm saying that I am preaching that if you're having difficulties in your life, it's because you're eating up with sin. There's more to it than that. But I want to deal with the areas in which the Bible talks about. So the question is, why do Christians suffer? I want you, if you would please, to turn to Exodus chapter 4. I want to deal with, if I may, the tail end of a very well-known story in the Bible, but also want to deal with something that is not spoken about very often. To be quite honest with you, I've never heard a message on this particular set of verses. I know that there have been messages preached because good men have written and commentated on this, on these verses. So I want you to understand, I'm not claiming to be the first to ever speak on these verses, but I just never heard anyone preach on them before. If we look here in chapter 4, we find the backside of Moses is winding down. He has met with God, or is meeting with the Lord on the mount. He is speaking to God through the burning bush. You know the story, don't you? If you've ever seen the Ten Commandments, you see that in your mind's eye. But nevertheless, this is where we are. We come into chapter 4, and Moses has some objections, and God answers and fixes those objections, maybe with a little bit of anger and aggravation with Moses. But nevertheless, he charges Moses to do something. And then we get on down to verse 19. And I hope that you'll be patient with me. But this thing, that's the question that I was asked. Why is this happening to me? Touch my heart. When you see someone suffering, and they don't understand, and they ask the preacher why, and the preacher can't give a direct answer, I just hope you'll pray for me that God will fill me full of His Spirit this morning. But the Bible here in verse 19, God has charged Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go, return, and shut off thy cell phone. And if y'all would like to take a minute to do that, you go right ahead. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, and you know what I found? This thing of this place of Midian is a place of strife. So the Lord said to Moses in the place of strife, go return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and sons and set them upon an ass. And he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, and I like this because here we find he's being instructed again. When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, and he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And it came to pass, by the way, in the end, that the Lord met him and sought. Now, are you listening to this? And it came to pass, by the way, in the end, that the Lord sought And it came to pass, by the way, in the end, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, "Surely a bloody husband art thou to me." So he let him go. And she said, "A bloody husband art thou because of the circumcision." I haven't heard anyone speak on that particular passage before. And as I read it, the suffering Christian did not and had not even crossed my mind. But I want to say, if we look at the contrast, look at verse 21 through 23, and we see God is carrying on the conversation that had ended on the mountain there at the burning bush. It seemed that God is saying, "Okay, we're on our way to Egypt now. Now I'm going to give you some last-minute instruction." That's what we see. But then all of a sudden, everything switches, changes gears, and relatively quick. In verse 21 to 23, God has given Moses instruction to go out and carry out the greatest event in the history of mankind until Jesus Christ showed up on the scene. So this is big. All of a sudden, bam, God goes for the throat. The question is why? Why was God 1 minute instructing a man that was about to pull off in God's power, pull off such a wonderful and a mighty event? Why would God go from instruction to killing the very man he is charged to carry out his will? Why would God want to kill Moses? He had not committed any noticeable or dreadful sin. There was nothing in his life that was obvious to anyone. The answer is this, that he did not have an outward sin. He had not gone out and done anything that would be considered wicked or an abomination unto God. It was not that type of sin that Moses had in his life that would cause God to go from instructing him to killing him just like that. But it was a sin of omission. It was that sin that he had not recognized or dealt with. No one else could see it, but Moses knew that he was sinning against God. Why was God angered? And the answer is this, ladies and gentlemen. Back in the days of Abraham, God had commanded the circumcision of their sons. And here, one at least of Moses' sons had not been circumcised. Moses had not been obedient, yet God was instructing him, had plans for him, but because of this sin of omission, God was done with him. Why? Why? As I read, I found that Zipporah also had a weakness. It was a cultural thing, it seems to be, according to many men, but that these women of Media, they were ladies that focused and wrapped their entire emotion, their entire being around their children. And she didn't want to see her son go through this. And so she objected to the circumcision. And because she objected to the circumcision, it seems that Moses had a weakness. Moses loved his sons, but it seems that he loved his wife more than he loved God. So his wife loved her children more than she loved God, and Moses seems to love his wife more than he loved God. I'm sure it had been discussed because apparently one of them was circumcised because the Bible didn't say the sons, it's the son. And she said, I'm not going to ever go through that again. That ain't going to happen. And Moses said, okay, honey. I always thought Zipporah was probably a pretty ugly woman. I did. Because her name reminds me of the name of, you know what reminds me of? Zipper. So in my mind, I see Zipporah. She doesn't have teeth that meet. She has teeth that go like this, like a zipper. And then I found out that her name means bird. So she had bad teeth and bird legs. You wonder why Moses later on married the Ethiopian woman. If you had a wife that looked like that, you might too. But that's just out-to-midget theology now. That's not in the Bible. If it is, would you please show me? Because I'd laugh and laugh and laugh. But nevertheless, he loved his wife more than he loved God. And according to the commentators and the men that I've read after, they believe in verse 25 where Zipporah jumps into action. Look what happens in verse 24 first. And it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. So my question was, well, then why didn't Moses jump into action? But according to, and I read after at least a half dozen of godly men, they believe that at this juncture, there in the end, that Moses could not jump into action because he was sick. He did not have the ability to jump into action. So Zipporah, understanding and seeing the seriousness of this situation, understanding that the death angel was laying across her son, understanding that she had not allowed her husband to carry out that commandment which God made to Abraham, she realized that something had to be done, and something had to be done quickly. So she jumps into action in verse 25. The Bible says, then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. And he let him go. He who? The Lord let Moses go. He was about to kill Moses because of a sin of omission, a sin that was not recognized, a sin that was not dealt with. And he wasn't willing to deal with it because he was scared of his wife. I want to tell you, husbands, you hear me and hear me well. As Moses was given a mission to carry out, so are we. I love my wife. I do. I love her. And I hope you love yours. But the fact of the matter is if you listen to your wife and you don't listen to God, he may cause you to be sick. He may even take you off this planet. Moses, a meek man, a godly man, yet he had sin in his life. And I want to say, Westside Baptist Church, that sin can produce sickness. I'm not suggesting that there's one person in this room that is committing a wicked act, something that would cause men to see their lives and go, oh my goodness, I can't believe they call themselves a Christian. But it's that thing that is omitted, the thing that we don't recognize, the thing we don't deal with, that sin that nobody else knows but you and God. It needs to be dealt with. Isn't this a good passage, Pastor? This passage jumped out and bloodied my nose. I was studying and praying about this. And then I went to the bedside of an individual that said, why me? Why is this happening? And I thought, if I preach this, then somebody say, oh, preacher's up there saying you're sick or you're dying because of sin. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not what I'm doing today. Not for a minute, not for a second. I got a whole message to preach yet. I'm not going to have time to preach this whole message. Not today, but tonight I'll finish it up. But the truth is that many are sick, the Bible tells us, because of sin. And so many times it's not that sin that everybody can see, but it's that sin that nobody sees but us. You say, well, how do you know they saw it? They saw it and they knew it. Or Moses' wife, Zipporah, wouldn't have zipped on out, grabbed a sharp stone, and did surgery on her own son. And she still, in my opinion, wasn't very happy about it. Look what she says again. Surely a bloody husband art thou to me. Then she says it again. A bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. So she seemed to be pretty ticked off over the fact that she had to perform the circumcision. She seemed to be upset with her husband because she had to do that to save his life. You say, well, her motive stunk. I don't care. God doesn't care what your motive is. He just wants the sin out. Your motive may be, well, I'm sick and maybe there's sin. Lord, I confess anything. It may be that you're just under conviction. God, it may be that you're not being used like God wants to. Think about it. Moses was on the way to Egypt, and God said, no, I'm going to kill you. After the burning bush experience, after the instruction, as he rode along with his family. And yet he was going to kill him. God had a plan for him. God has a plan for you. But God couldn't use Moses, Brother Bill, because he had that sin pushed off over here, hidden away. He thought he was the only one that recognized it. But even that wife that wouldn't let him do the circumcision earlier on knew that it was sin. And God said, Moses, I've called you to do great things. I want to kill you because you will not be the obedient and sinless servant I've called you to be. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that God has a plan. God wants to use us. I want you to think about this. This is not your ordinary church member we're talking about, Pastor. This is Moses. Remember Moses? Everything God did through him? This is not your ordinary man. And yet God, in the last hour, before he steps into Egypt, God said, nope, I'm not going to use you. We think we're so important. We think, I tell you, just because you think you're important doesn't mean that God does. Not that God doesn't love you or us, but his objective is his will and his agenda. That's his objective. And if we're not willing to submit or omit, then he is willing to take us off the scene. That's scary. Now, folks, how do you end here? How do you end this message here? And I got to tell you, Brother Dave, I don't know. I just know I am. There are other reasons, five or six other reasons tonight I want to talk to you about why God allows things in our lives, why he allows us to be hurt with heartache, sometimes with sickness, sometimes not, sometimes outside powers or individuals seek to destroy or to hurt you individually. Why does God allow those things? Why does God allow bad things to happen to me, Brother Bill? And we're going to answer those tonight. But this morning, the challenge, I believe, is if we think we're hot stuff, how do we compare to Moses? And God was willing to take him off the scene because of one sin, Brother Dave. He wouldn't circumcise one of his sons. And God said, nope. And by the way, where the Bible says the Lord went to meet him to kill him, it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. He didn't hire anybody to do it for him. He handled them personally. And I want to warn. I tell you, I fought this thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I didn't want to. I was up to well after 3 a.m. this morning begging God to change this message. I studied. Oh, brother, I studied other stuff. It was good, too, by the way. But, man, I was laying there in bed at 4 o'clock and 4:30, 5 o'clock looking at the ceiling, and God said, I told you what to preach. A little after 5 o'clock, I said, okay, Lord, and I rolled over and went to sleep until about a quarter till 8 this morning. This message is from God. It is for someone. I'm not preaching it at Unity Baptist Church or the First Baptist Church or the Second Methodist or what. I'm here today at Westside Baptist Church. I believe this message is for me. I believe it's for you. I believe it's time that we search our lives. Say, Lord, is there anything that I've got tucked away that would keep you from using me? Is there anything tucked away that would cause me to be ill? Is there anything tucked away that would cause you to write Ichabod on my forehead? Is there anything that should cause me to be convicted and miserable about? Is there anything? And that's it. The challenge is dark. It is deep. But ladies and gentlemen, it is real. And I'm asking you, Westside Baptist Church, to stop playing games this morning. Zipporah, when she realized the jig was up, she tore out of that room, went out and found a sharp rock, and circumcised her. And what happens right after she did the number? She had removed the sin. I will say this, I find it odd, not odd, but interesting, that she had to shed some blood. Did you hear that? I call this the Moses 1 John 1:9. That's right. What do we want to do with it, Westside Baptist Church? I'm looking across this congregation, and I want you to know I love you. I appreciate you so much. I've watched you gather around and rally around Brother Richard and so many others that have been hurting and wounded. Yesterday at the hospital, we walked in to Maria's room, and it was slam full of people. And we wiggled in elbow to elbow, and were able to get up to that child and pray for her. I looked around. I didn't see anybody there except, for the most part, minus one or two, that were from Westside Baptist Church. God's going to honor this church for that kind of love. And I appreciate it as your pastor. But I'm asking the hard questions this morning. Would you search your heart and life? Would you be willing to come to the altar this morning and say, Lord, I don't know if I do have any hidden sin in my life, but if I do, would you show it to me? Maybe, Lord, that's why you're not using me like I want to be used. Maybe that's why this didn't happen or this did happen. Lord, would you help me? Search me and help me to recognize anything in my life that would cause me not to be used like you used old Moses thousands of years ago. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's all stand. I'm going to ask the pianist if you just start playing for us. I think the question, the invitation is straightforward. Westside Baptist Church, I'm going to ask that you not play games with God, but you'll step out and say, God, use me. Expose anything in my life to me that I can 1 John 1:9 it. Get it under the blood that I can be used. Let's play, please. The altar's open, Westside. The altar's open.